If you would turn to the book of Revelation, chapter 20, I would like to start this morning a short series entitled The Millennium. What will it be like? This will be a 2 or 3 week session, probably. The Millennium. An interesting subject, one that's not studied too much, one that's not preached about very much in the Christian world because everybody's looking for heaven. So who cares about the millennium? But we do have a part in the millennium. And I think we should be appraised of that part. The word millennium means a span of 1,000 years. In biblical theology, the millennium, as opposed to a millennium, speaks to the last and crowning 1,000-year period of this earth. In the book of Revelation, chapter 20, verses 1 through 4, we read, "And I saw an angel come down from heaven, having the key of the bottomless pit and a great chain in his hand." Now, of course, this is figuratively speaking. He sees in the vision an angel with a chain, and of course this represents something to bind with. It represents God coming to bind. And he laid hold on the dragon, which is a symbolical term for Satan, that old serpent, which is the devil and Satan, and bound him 1,000 years, and cast him into the bottomless pit, and shut him up, and set a seal upon him, that he should deceive the nations no more, till the 1,000 years should be fulfilled. And after that he must be loosed a little season. And I saw thrones, and they sat on them, and judgment was given unto them, and I saw the souls of them that were beheaded for the witness of Jesus, and for the word of God, and which had not worshipped the beast," that's the Antichrist government, "neither the image, neither had received his mark upon their foreheads or in their hands, and they lived and reigned with Christ 1,000 years. This is the millennium, the crowning 1,000-year period at the end of time. Now, the millennium is the answer to the prayer, the model prayer, as we sometimes call it, that Christ prayed. "Thy kingdom come. Thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven." During the millennium, his kingdom will have come to this earth visibly, in fact, and fully, and not just spiritually, but spiritually as well. And his will be done on earth as it is in heaven. The millennium is when the kingdom of God has universal sway over the earth, until it's a universal kingdom. Now, in order for Christ to rule over the millennium as God's chosen son, he will do that, he must put down all rebellion. He will bind the power of Satan, and he will rule with and through his saints over the earth. The millennium is the fulfillment of God's covenant made to Abraham. In Genesis 18:18, saying, "Abraham shall surely become a great and mighty nation," which is the Hebrew nation, "and all the nations of the earth shall be blessed in him." Now, so far, all the nations of the earth have not been blessed by the Hebrew nation, but they will be in the millennium. It's also a fulfillment of God's covenant with Abraham that he reiterated to Isaac and to Jacob and again to Israel and again to David. 2 Corinthians 4:4 says that Satan is the god of this age, but this age has an end, or it wouldn't be called an age. The prophet Daniel said 70 weeks, and he's talking about prophetic weeks of years, a week being 7 years. 70 weeks are determined upon thy people. to finish the transgression. This age is going to come to an end. To finish the transgression. And to make an end of sins. To bring in everlasting righteousness. And to anoint the Most Holy One. That's Daniel 9:24. This in biblical theology is called the 70 weeks of Daniel, that prophecy. Now when Christ was baptized, taking man's place, standing in the place of man as the new Adam, the last Adam, there will never be another after him, and was anointed for his messianic ministry, he began the 70th prophetic week of years prophesied by the prophet Daniel. 70 years are determined to make an end of sins. He started the 70th year. If you understand the 70 weeks of Daniel, the whole prophecy, you'll know that is true. Now, if he would have been accepted by Israel as a nation, as the son of God that God wanted, the pattern son, God manifest in the flesh in his own son, and had followed him in water baptism, and had become his disciples, indeed, he would have had a 7-year ministry, 1 week, the 70th week, of witnessing, confirming God's covenant to Abraham. And God would then have a holy nation under Christ, the greater David, who would be king over Israel. And as with Israel of old, when they walked with God, God would have led Israel to triumph over Rome, the oppressor, in this age right then. And Christ and Israel would then start ruling over the earth at that time. That is an actual fact. The millennium could have started at that time. They could have accepted Christ, would have confirmed the covenant in the last of the week, and then it would be right into the millennium. Jesus said, if my kingdom were of this world, then would my servants fight. John 18:36. They would fight, and they would have. And Christ, as greater David, would have taken his people, and with a, and you can better believe it would be a real spiritual fight, too. I don't mean a real fleshly fight, but I mean you can believe that even as God in the old times said, stand still and see the salvation of God, even when the death angel came down over and smote the Assyrians in the days of Hezekiah, that God would fight for his people as never before. Now this is not often recognized by a lot of people because it didn't happen that way for a certain reason. They did not realize that Christ would have been the greater David and would have taken the head of the nation, and they would have defeated Rome and overtaken the world. But he's going to do that someday over all the nations of the earth. And he would have at that time. But this world lay in the arms of the wicked one. 1 John 5:19, it lays in the wicked one, meaning in the arms of or the lap of. Satan usurped God's kingdom that was put under Adam. And God's created sons would not vote Christ in as their king to rule over them. They said, we will not have this man to rule over us. And so Christ's kingdom had to remain underground in hearts as a spiritual kingdom only. It was not intended to be a spiritual kingdom only. It was intended to be and will be both a spiritual kingdom and a physical kingdom. But when God judges Adam, man, and finds him guilty of choosing to serve the Antichrist instead of Christ, and of choosing to serve Satan instead of God, he brings plagues upon this last world, Egypt, this world of which Egypt was a type, of which he brought plagues in those days. Then God's people will fight with him against the devil, as we read in Revelation 19. Look at it, verse 14, right across the page. And the armies which were in heaven followed him. upon white horses, clothed in fine linen, white and clean. This is all in a vision, symbolically, you understand. But he's talking about, these are the saints, called armies. And out of his mouth goeth a sharp sword, that's to fight with. And with it, he should smite the nations, and he should rule them with a rod of iron. But others are going to rule and reign with him, remember, with a rod of iron. And he treadeth the winepress of the fierceness of the wrath of Almighty God. And he has on his vesture and on his thigh a name written, King of Kings, Lord of Lords. Now, he has an army that will come and fight with him against the devil, although he treads the winepress of men alone. Yet they fight in a spiritual warfare. Now, one day, the seventh angel of judgment shall give a sound, and great voices in heaven will say, the kingdoms of this world are become the kingdoms of our Lord and his anointed, and he shall reign forever and ever. Revelation 11:5. Then the seventh millennium on earth, the great millennium, that is the millennium, shall start. But the Jews did not accept Christ, as Daniel prophesied. Messiah shall be cut off, but not for himself. Daniel 9:26. He was cut off from continuing. He wasn't cut off for himself. It was for the world that he was cut off. But Daniel prophesied, he shall confirm the covenant. He shall confirm the covenant with the many for 1 week. That is the week of years, or 7 years. And in the midst of the week, he shall cause the sacrifice to cease. Verse 27. That is, after 3.5 years, which is a half of a week of years, he shall be cut off, crucified. And in doing this, he will become God's sacrifice. And therefore he will cause the lamb sacrifice to cease, because he is the fulfillment of all the lamb sacrifices. But now, the last half of the week, because he was cut off in the midst of the week, the last half of the week of years is put off. So we don't have a full 70th week. We only had a half of the 70th week for Daniel to fulfill the Abrahamic covenant. And not to fulfill it, but to confirm it. It is put off until the 144,000, 12,000 of each of the 12 tribes of Israel, which are called the first fruits of Israel in the last days, accept Christ and allow him to continue to confirm God's covenant with Israel in them. After this 3.5 years, that's the last half of the week, when he shall be confirming his covenant in the 144,000 Israel, the whole nation again, 12 tribes, during the tribulation time, this covenant shall be confirmed. And the millennium, which is God's kingdom headed by Christ, his perfect and choice son, shall be in effect. He confirms the covenant, and then the period of the covenant starts, the millennium. Now, you have just heard in simplified form what the 70 weeks of Daniel are all about, if that's been a mystery to you. Now, the sequence of events between now and the millennium are these. Right now, we have world government in the making. We also, that's the devil's plan. We also have God's plan, God's man-child in the making. That is, God making very many members, of his body, he being the great man-child, being many members of his body, are being formed in the womb of the visible church, the woman. And when we come to that man, Christ Jesus, into a perfect man, as the book of Ephesians says, then that man child shall come out of the visible church, that invisible company, that shall come out full grown, and ready to stand. So while world government's in the making, we have God's man-child in the making. And then world government shall come into being. The Antichrist shall be revealed and shall take hold of that world government. That's God, Satan's plan starting to culminate. And then we have God's plan. He will send a latter rain upon his man-child company, a spiritual rain, a real blessing, a downpour from heaven. You'll see both forces working simultaneously. And then, according to Scripture, there will be a death blow to the world government. And the bride will come into perfection. And then there will be a harvest of souls. And then they will be taken heavenward to put in God's garner, which is called the out-translation of the saints, or sometimes the rapture. After this, there will be 3.5 years in which the devil's wrath will be poured out on the remaining church, called the remnant of the woman's seed. Those who have not aspired in the spirit-filled life to the higher calling of God and been perfected as a bride, but will have to come in to the wedding as guests to the supper. And so the devil's wrath is poured out on the church during that 3.5 year period. We also have, during that time, the Antichrist world government and the harlot church with a false prophet. And there will be many martyrs, Christian martyrs, like the world has not seen, even in pagan Rome days and papal Rome days. And then there will be a resurrection of those martyrs. And that's the devil's plan, still culminating. And then there was God's plan. He will have 3.5 years wrath on the Antichrist government. While the Antichrist government is having, the devil is having through the Antichrist and his people 3.5 years wrath on the church that's remaining, that God will have 3.5 years wrath on the devil and his people remaining. And then there will be the 144,000, 12,000 of each of the 12 tribes of Israel that have accepted Jesus Christ that will be sealed so that these plagues that God pours out will not hurt them, but only hurt others that are on the earth. The world powers will after that destroy the false church that they set up to suckle people into false religion. Once they have achieved their aim, they'll get rid of the church, and there'll only be a worship of the devil. Nations then will be gathered, all nations, against Israel, which has not received the plagues from heaven, but is blossoming as a rose, and is as the Garden of Eden again, as the Scripture says. And they'll come down against it into a great and final battle in the Valley of Harmageddon, or as we call it, Armageddon. And Armageddon will be fought with Russia and Germany, according to Scriptures, Gomorlanden, Germany, and Togarma, which is Turkey, coming down with Put and Libya, coming down with the Middle East nations, and with Ethiopia, and the kings of the East, probably Japan and China and India, and they'll come against Israel. Then there'll be the second coming of the Lord Jesus Christ, who will intervene at the last moment after the land has been devastated, after half of Jerusalem has been taken, the women ravished, and the children sold into captivity. Then the priests don sackcloth and ashes, and they go before their new temple. They're going to build a temple there. And they're going to weep and cry out unto Yahweh that he save them from the heathen, lest God's name and covenant be of no effect. And then all people left in the land will be called to cry out unto God and repent before Him. And when they do, God puts a hook in the jaw of the northern army and turns them back and leaves but a sixth of them, the scripture says. And they shall fall upon the fields of Ham and Gog, meaning the multitude of Gog, the multitude. And it shall take 7 years, 7 months to bury the dead. And after 7 months, when everybody is burying as fast as they can, then they will sever out men of continual employment, and they will put staves by those that they find that are dead, that the dead wagon crews will find them and bury them. And they shall not take wood out of the fields to burn for 7 years. There will be so much fuel, I suppose, from tanks and trucks and all types of military equipment and so forth, and all the other things that laying all throughout the land. They'll have fuel for 7 years just from cleaning up from that last great battle of Armageddon. But at his second coming, the Jews there shall look upon the Mount of Olives, where he shall come down upon the Mount of Olives, and they shall look upon him whom they have pierced, and they shall mourn and wail for him, as one mourneth for the only begotten Son, recognizing this is none more than Jesus Christ whom they have rejected. And for 2,000 years, they have been driven from their own land, and they've been wailing at the wailing wall and kicked from pillar to post all over the world, hated and despised, because they rejected the Son of God. And they have pushed off the millennium. They could have had it 2,000 years ago. And God says he'll save the tents of Judah first. That's the Jews. And then the other scattered nations of Israel all over Europe and the United States and the Isles of the Sea will come in. And then other nations also, and them that dwell carelessly in the Isles. And they shall serve God from the least to the greatest, and they shall know that he is the Lord. And God shall start in effect the millennium. It requires a renovation of the earth, so to speak, at least on a topographical, the scripture says that in the plagues that every island shall be moved, and in the mountains from the shall be moved, and a third of the city shall fall, and there's going to be quite a devastation. It says that using a hyperbole, which means an exaggeration for effect's sake, that people shall be so few that a child shall count them. The earth shall start, there will be a great slaughter during the plagues and Armageddon. The earth will have room for repopulation again. And God is going to reign and rule through Jesus Christ and his people and with a righteous government. Now, God gave this planet in good shape to man. And he put man in dominion over it and said, now, replenish the earth and have a good time. And I'll walk with you, fellowship with you, give you wisdom, and lead you and help you to guide it. Well, as you know, man has totally messed up with God's plan. And since the time of Adam to the present, there's been very little time at which there has not been people warring with one another and subjugating one another. And there is terrible, in this nation, for example, because we have to have half of the cream. It takes so much to live. Let me put this analogy so you can understand it. In your family, let's supposing, just hypothetically, regardless of the size of it, let's just supposing that it takes you $1,000 a month just to pay all the bills and just to live. And that's no luxury, just bare necessity. Now, if you can have $200 over that called cream, or call pocket money or mad money or whatever you want. If you can have $200 to spend for whatever you want, that $200, you see, every little bit over that really counts now. Even $50 over will mean something. $200 means a lot more. $500, if you have $1,000 over, if you had $1,000 mad money, see, you got quite a bit. Well, about half of all of our money in this country, you know, goes for military and all those type of things, all the things that are involved in that long chain. And you're talking about crime prevention and insane asylums and, you know, and prisons and military and all of that. We have got, we would have an enormous amount of cream, or mad money, so to speak, if we did not have to have all these things. Which means that everybody could have a beautiful home. They could have really super vehicles to drive. There wouldn't be any slums anywhere in America or in the world. There would be enough for everybody to live in luxury. Everything would be clean and beautiful and of lovely material. We'd be always buying the cheap stuff. But we have to live like this. And you drive anywhere in the world, and there's slums everywhere, and everything's run down because of mismanagement. And there is so much mismanagement, hanky-panky, political skullduggery, buying, you know, opposite, so much stuff going on that it's horrible. And so much feel. Now, in the millennium, things are going to be different. And in the millennium, with Jesus Christ as king, and he's better than Carter any day, and righteous saints under him ruling the earth, you're going to see things come into focus. So God, Christ, as the Son of God, is going to be handed the earth as a mess. Finally, the kingdoms of this world shall become the kingdoms of our Lord and his Christ. And after the whole world is devastated and all messed up, and man has proven for 7,000 years you can't run it, for 6,000 years, then it's handed over to the Son of God. And the saints can say, we're sorry. Instead of blessing this earth, we tried to fix it. We tried to fix it up, and this is what we did with it. You fix it. See what you can do with it. He's going to take it as a mess. And before that time is up, it's going to be a beautiful place and a wonderful place to live. Showing what the world could have been if they would have followed God in the first place and the wisdom of God given to them, if man had not fallen. Now, we, as sons of God, are going to have a place in the rule over the millennial earth. It isn't just heaven and that's it. There is a new earth, and there's also, before that time, a millennial earth. And we shall have a part, not only in heaven where we go, but on the millennium and in the new earth. And we must understand that. We should understand that. Now, after the millennium, the devil will be bound, of course. That will help immensely. And after the millennium, Satan will be loosed for a short season, for a last try. And he'll be stopped short and thrown into the lake of fire. And there will be a resurrection of all, great and small, and the great judgment day. And then the scripture says that heaven, the heavens, meaning the atmosphere around this earth, and the heavens, meaning where the birds fly and where the stars are, and then the third heaven that speaks about where God is, the heavens and the earth shall pass away with a great noise. There will be one great explosion that will cause either explosion or implosion, whichever it is, and it's going to pass away with a great noise. So the stars shall fall, the heavens shall roll back like a scroll. Ever see a scroll? You roll a scroll up like this and let it go? Just... It's going to be one giant cataclysm. And he said, I saw new heavens and a new earth. Not mean a new heaven where God is, but a new heavens surrounding a new earth. And there was no more sea. And we have not a renovated earth, but you have a new earth after the time of the millennium. And then he sees the bride coming down out of heaven, called the New Jerusalem. This isn't the old Jerusalem. This is the people of the New Jerusalem. Adorned as a bride prepared for her husband, the wedding supper being over, and coming down to dwell on the new earth that God has. It doesn't say the new earth will look like this earth. It doesn't say it will be the same diameter of this earth. It doesn't say it will even have the same atmosphere. But it will be a new earth. I'm willing to chance what it will be like. Now, the next question is, who shall rule in the millennium? In Revelation chapter 20, again, and in verse 4, we're reading that, and I saw thrones. Thrones are for ruling. You know, thrones in different cities, different places. And they sat on them. People were ruling from them. And judgment was given to them. They were making, people are going to make judgments. And I saw the souls of them that were beheaded for the witness of Jesus and for the word of God. He saw martyrs. Those had been martyred for Christ. And which had not worshipped the beast, neither his image, neither had received his mark upon their foreheads or in their hands. Now that's speaking about those during the Antichrist tribulation period, just up ahead after the out translation, those saints that refused to worship the beast. And it says, and they lived and reigned with Christ 1,000 years. So first of all, those out of the last tribulation period are going to be reigning with Christ during this 1,000 years. Secondly, we look at verse 6. Maybe I'll read verse 5 also. But the rest of the dead lived not again until the 1,000 years were finished. See, there's a resurrection before the millennium. There's a final resurrection after the millennium of all to the judgment. This, and then he's speaking of the first one, he says, this is the first resurrection. Blessed and holy is he that hath part in the first resurrection. On such the second death, that spiritual death in the lake of fire, hath no power. But they shall be priests of God and of Christ, and shall reign with him 1,000 years. You have a choice of being born twice and dying once, or being born once and dying twice. Now, if you're born once, everybody's born once, of your parents, physical birth, you will die twice. You'll die once in this body, and you'll die once, and you'll die a second time, a spiritual death, in which you're cast in the lake of fire. In fact, in verse 14 it says so, and death and hell were cast in the lake of fire, this is the second death. Now there are other people who are smarter than that, who are born twice. They are born again. And then they don't have to die twice. They don't have to have the second death. They only have to have the first death. In Adam, all die. But in Christ, all shall be made alive. Although at the end time, there will be those privileged who will never die. He that believeth in me shall never die. Believest thou this? There are those who will live to not only never die spiritually, but never to die even physically. And then as it says in the book of Thessalonians, they that are alive and remain shall be caught up to meet the Lord in the air. And so shall they ever be with the Lord. Wherefore, comfort one another with these words. So we see that not only those who are guests at the wedding, who are martyrs out of the tribulation, the great one, will rule and reign over the earth, but those who are in the first resurrection are said also to rule and reign over the earth. Now, all those in the resurrection, which is in successive steps, but one resurrection, there's only one resurrection here, even though it's at different times, that is all those prior to the millennium that are resurrected. That's called the first resurrection. That means in the first resurrection, there's Moses who was resurrected. There's Christ who came out, and those who came out of the tombs with him. And then there are the dead in Christ at the rapture. For the dead in Christ shall rise first, the scripture says. And then we which are alive and remain shall be caught up together with them. There's the dead in Christ at the rapture who are resurrected. And then there's the dead in Christ after the 3.5-year tribulation period. They shall stand upon their feet in the sight of all, and they shall stand up, the scripture says. So they also shall rule and reign over the millennial earth. Now there are two New Testament groups that are not resurrected that also shall rule. We haven't mentioned yet. One of them is the 144,000 which you see in Revelation chapter 14. That's the actually the third place you see him. In one sense, it's the second place. Third time it's mentioned. And I looked, and lo, a lamb, that's speaking of Christ, stood on the Mount Zion, and with him 144,000, having his Father's name written in their foreheads. And I heard a voice from heaven as the voice of many waters, and as the voice of a great thunder. And I heard the voice of harpers harping with their harps. And they sung as it were a new song before the throne, and before the four beasts, the Greek is the four living creatures, and the elders. And no man can learn that song but the 144,000 which were redeemed from the earth. These are they which were not defiled with women, for they are virgins. They are they which follow the Lamb whithersoever he goeth. These were redeemed from among men, being the firstfruits unto God and unto the Lamb, meaning the firstfruits of that company. Maybe we should look at them again just briefly in chapter 7. In chapter 7, in verse 3, we see a saying, "Hurt not the earth, neither the sea, nor the trees, till we have sealed the servants of our God in their foreheads. And I heard the number of them which were sealed. And it was sealed 144,000 of all the tribes of the children of Israel." I tell you who they are. "Of the tribe of Judah was sealed 12,000. The tribe of Reuben was sealed 12,000. The tribe of Gad was sealed 12,000. He goes to the 12 tribes, names each one, so you know exactly who they are. They are nobody else but the 12 tribes of Israel, 12,000 from each of the 12 tribes. But they are on everybody, and they are on everybody who goes to heaven. In verse 9, you see a different company. You see the martyred ones we talked about. "After this, I beheld and lo, a great multitude, which no man could number." This isn't 144,000. This is just a great, huge number, much bigger than that. "Of all nations," not Jews, but of all nations, "and kindreds, and people, and tongues, stood before the throne and before the Lamb, clothed with white robes and palms in their hands. And they cried with a loud voice, saying, Salvation to our God, which sitteth upon the throne, and to the Lamb. And all the angels stood round about the throne, and about the elders, and the four living creatures, and fell before the throne in their faces, and they worshiped God," and so forth. And verse 14 says, "These are they which came out of great tribulation, and have washed their robes, and made them white in the blood of the Lamb. Therefore they're before his throne day and night." So there's another company he saw that came out of the great tribulation. Now, in chapter 14, the 144,000 are seen on Mount Zion. Heavenly Zion, which is New Jerusalem, which is above, which is the mother of us all, the scripture says in Hebrews 12. 12 or 13, whichever it is. So, here, we see another company. Now, there's also another company yet, that is the raptured saints, the raptured alive, who are not resurrected. We see them in Revelation 3, 11 to 12, coming out of the Philadelphia church, where she said, "Behold, I come quickly, hold that fast which thou hast, that no man take thy crown. Him that overcometh will I make a pillar in the temple of my God, and he shall go out no more. And I write upon him the name of my God, and the name of the city of my God, which is the New Jerusalem, which cometh down out of heaven from my God. And I'll write upon him my new name." Now he's going to write upon them his new name, and he's going to write upon them their new name. And their new name here is the New Jerusalem. He's wrote upon them, they're called the New Jerusalem. Who's the New Jerusalem? Look at Revelation 20, 21. Verse 2. Well, we'll take verse 1 first. "And I saw a new heaven and a new earth, for the first heaven and the first earth were passed away, and there was no more sea. And I, John, saw the holy city, New Jerusalem, coming down from God out of heaven, prepared as a bride, adorned for her husband." He didn't see buildings coming down. They don't have wedding dresses on. These are people. If all Seattle turns out to the game, it doesn't mean the buildings turn out. It means the people. And Jerusalem coming down prepared as a bride, he speaks of people. And he writes upon these people in the third chapter out of the Philadelphia church, New Jerusalem. I'll let you know who they are. They are the bride. We also see them in 1 Thessalonians 4, 16 to 17. Those that are remained to the coming of the Lord that are caught out, before the Great Tribulation, and there's a lot of other scriptures to support that I won't take time to go into at this time. I've taught on that before. Now, there are others also. Matthew 19, verse 27 and 28. We have therefore. And Jesus said unto them, Verily I say unto you, that ye which have followed me in the regeneration, when the Son of Man shall sit in the throne of his glory, ye shall sit upon 12 thrones, judging the 12 tribes of Israel. You have forsaken all? What shall you have therefore? You shall have something for forsaking all. You have forsaken parents who would disown you. You have forsaken the world, you shall have treasures in heaven. Those who follow Christ in the regeneration shall sit upon the 12 tribes, sit upon 12 thrones, judging the 12 tribes. Telling them, regeneration is used concerning baptism in Titus 3:5. Baptism. Regeneration speaks of the new birth, being born again, regenerated. Like Gneo, to be generated. It speaks of to be regenerated or to make new or do what we call the restoration of all things. In other words, he's talking about new covenant discipleship. They that follow me as discipleship in the regeneration, in the being born again, baptized in the new covenant that I have to wash them and make them clean. They shall sit upon 12 thrones, judging the 12 tribes of Israel, speaking to them. We also see in Luke 19 and in verses 17 through 19 those ruling and reigning with him. He gave a parable of a rich man, a nobleman, who went into another country, speaking of Christ, who gave out of his treasure house gold and silver talents to various of his servants, saying to occupy in business as a lender until I come again and increase and make money. And when I come again, I'll see how much money you have made for me. You're working for me. And he comes again and he says in verse 17, Well, thou good servant, because thou hast been faithful in a very little, because he hath given him a talent, and with that talent, he gained 10 talents. He made a tenfold increase. He brought 10 saints into the kingdom. And he said, because thou hast been faithful in a very little, he called that a very little, have thou authority over 10 cities. In the millennium, you shall have authority over 10 cities. In some sense, maybe not in total sense, but in some sense. This is analogy, of course. This is a parable. And the second came, saying, Lord, thy pound hath gained 5 pounds. And he said, likewise, be thou over 5 cities. Okay, so accordingly, you gain one. He said, okay, you're over 1 city. In whatever capacity that would be. And this is not speaking literally, but it's symbolical of authority given and reward given in position because of your faithfulness on this earth. So here he is saying, those expanding God's kingdom shall also be ruling with him, given authority over these cities in the millennium. Also in Revelation 2, and in verse 26, if you'll find it quickly, 26 and 27. And he that overcometh and keepeth my works unto the end, to him will I give power over the nations, and he shall rule them with a rod of iron. Now, here, this is what was said concerning Christ in the Psalms, and now it's said concerning the overcomers. And so he that overcomes also shall shepherd with a staff of iron with Christ, In other words, he also is ruling the overcomers. We also see in 1 Corinthians chapter 6, verses 2 and 3. Give me just a moment to find it. Do you not know that the saints shall judge the world? And if the world shall be judged by you, are ye unworthy to judge the smallest matters? Know ye not that we shall judge angels, speaking of the fallen angels, how much more things that pertain to this life? Now, here he explains that saints shall judge the world. They shall be judges in the millennial earth. Certainly you're not going to judge them in heaven or in the new earth. Nothing to judge them for there. Also, we see in the book of Daniel, chapter 7, if you'll turn there, parallel passage concerning the saints. I beheld in the same horn, meaning power, and it's talking about the Antichrist government, the end of time, made war with the saints. And that's the saints that were not caught out but remained, as we see in Revelation 13:8. He shall make war with them and overcome them. And he prevailed against them. This is parallel to Revelation 13:8. Until the Ancient of Days came, that's the second coming, and judgment was given to the saints of the Most High in the millennium. Right after the Ancient of Days comes. And the time came that the saints possessed the kingdom. They possessed the kingdom. Judgment was given to the saints. Verse 27. And the kingdom and dominion and the greatness of the kingdom under the whole heaven, this is the kingdom of God in the millennium, shall be given to the people of the saints of the Most High, whose kingdom is an everlasting kingdom, and all dominion shall serve and obey him. Now there is a question as to what extent the saints rule over the earth with Christ on the earth and from heaven. Those said to rule over the millennium in the Old Testament that we haven't read yet would lead one possibly to conclude that the New Testament saints and Christ must rule not from the millennial earth but from heaven. They should rule over the earth from heaven. Or if not from heaven exclusively, then having access from heaven to earth, coming to rule like angels have access. But, of course, the New Old Testament would be silent on the New Testament saints. You know, they would not be speaking of that. That would be something waiting. So that must be taken into consideration, that very silence about them coming. And the fact that they say who reigns but don't include these would be a natural thing at a time when that revelation wasn't given. But yet, there still is the question. In the New Covenant, whether we reign over and above the earth and in from heaven, and maybe with access, while there are others reigning on the earth under those, which I suspect is true. I don't think it can be proven one way or another. Three more scriptures, but in closing, Isaiah 1:26, looking at the Old Testament scriptures now and who's ruling. Isaiah 1:26. And I will restore thy judges as at the first, and thy counselors as at the beginning. Afterward thou shalt be called the city of righteousness, the faithful city. Now he's saying, even as I gave judges back in the days of Samuel, and I am going to restore judges again, and they'll be under the king, which is Jesus, and counselors also, even as they gave to Moses, counselors, others under Moses, there will be also counselors given in the millennial earth. In the book of Jeremiah, it's over one book, Isaiah, Jeremiah, chapter 30, and verse 21. And the nobles shall be of themselves. That means there shall be nobles there of Judah or of Israel. And the governor shall proceed from the midst of them. They shall have a governor also that shall come from Judah, not from someone else. And I will cause him to draw near, and he shall be approaching to me. For who is this that engageth his heart to approach unto me, saith the Lord? And ye shall be my people, and I will be your God. So he is saying that that nobles and judges shall come from Israel to rule over Israel at that time. And the question is, do these counselors and judges that are restored, these nobles and judges from Israel, do they come from the millennium? Do they come from the Old Testament saints that have been resurrected? Do they come from the New Testament saints that have been resurrected? Is the question. One more scripture. Ezekiel 45. In verse 7. And a portion shall be for the prince on the one side. You're talking about the land that's been given during the millennium. He talks about a prince that shall be there. All scholars agree by reading the whole context that the prince is not speaking of Christ. Also in verse 8. And in the land shall be his possession in Israel. And my princes, speaking of more than one now, shall no more oppress my people. And the rest of the land shall they give to the house of Israel according to their tribes. Thus saith the Lord God, let it suffice you, O princes of Israel. There will be princes there of Israel also ruling and reigning. Now, this does not mean that all of these people that rule and reign in the same capacity, of course, or in the same position. But they should be reigning over the millennial earth, and others will be under them. There will be a whole government, and of course there will be a pyramid government. We will yet have a part in righteousness of this earth. Right now, the newspapers don't seem to thrill us very much. It's always bad news continually. Someday the newspapers will every day have wonderful news, more wonderful news every day. Millennial store, I can see it now. Wonderful news for the 6,450th straight day, you know. Now, next week, in the Sunday school hour, I'll be preaching on what will the millennium be like. What will it be like? We'll take scriptures and see what we can learn from it. I'm going to try an experiment this morning. You sit here and, you know, you can get a little bit drowsy, you know, from just sitting. And then you have to sit for 2 more hours. So we're going to just take a real brief break and maybe encourage everybody to at least stand, and you can walk around a little bit. This might take 10 minutes instead of 5 minutes or whatever, or 15 instead of 10. But we're going to make an experiment. I just feel like to do this. I see people kind of tired. I just don't want you tired during the service. So get up and stand up, walk around a little bit. And as soon as you hear the music, we're going to hold the music off. When you hear the music, don't bow, but come in. Okay.